We are blessed today to have my very special friend. This is a very special friend to me, so if you don't treat him well and respond well, I'll just take him to my house. Many years ago, in 1993, we started our church together here in the United Kingdom. It was the two of us. So before then, we've been friends from the university, but I mean, that's a long story because I'm not sharing a testimony. Okay, so I'm just starting from when the church started. So we've been here for many years. And then the Lord took him to, thank God, not to heaven, but to the United States, where he has planted many churches, many, many churches. He's currently a preacher in L.A. He's our pastor, our bishop, our apostle in the of the United States and the Caribbean region. And he came for our Great Grace Homecoming Convention because this is home for him. So when there's a homecoming convention, he has to come home. So he came and he's been with us. And it's just a great blessing for him to speak to us today. As he's going to minister to you, you see why he's my best friend. You see how anointed he is. You see how intelligent he is. You see how eloquent he is. And you see how powerful his words are. So you see, you have an idea of what I like and what works in my life. Yeah, so this is my best friend I've had for many, 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 many years. And I'm blessed to have him here today. Please stand to your feet and let's welcome Apostle Joel to the microphone. Oh, give the Lord a better shout.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Wow. I'm just trying to interpret the looks on your faces. Hallelujah. It's such a blessing to be here. Amen. And I thank God for the opportunity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this afternoon. And thank you for the opportunity to hear the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light unto our path. Without your word, our paths are dark, because there is no light on our path. But when we have your word, light comes to our path, and we can see things more clearly. We can understand things a little easier, because the light of the word has come and has shone in our path. We pray, Lord, today that the light of the word will shine in our direction. We pray that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. Bless us, O God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Wow. Well, what can I say? I think I'm blessed again to be here. And I'm honored to be the first guest preacher. I didn't know that. And I'm really, really, really honored to be here. I really was coming to fellowship and just to hang out in your church. And I've been begging not to preach, even up to a few minutes ago. But it didn't work out. So I'm here. Amen. And I thank God for your lives, and I thank God especially for the life of your pastor. You know? Yeah. And I am really blessed to be called his friend. You know? And yes, we have been friends for a very long time. But he's really been my pastor. You know how it is when your pastor is like your friend. It's more like that. You know? And he's always been there for me. Everybody needs someone like that in your life. You need someone that you relate with, but who also has the power and the right and the authority to correct you and to speak into your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Everyone needs that kind of a person in your life. And so God has blessed me for many, many years to have that kind of a friend. And we go back many, many years. And we have served the Lord together. I copy him a lot. Yeah, I copy him a lot. And so many things he's done, I've tried to do. You know, and that's the way it's been. And so it's a great blessing. I believe, like Pastor Ben was saying, he's a unique man of God. Very, very anointed pastor, and you're blessed to have anything to do with him at all. Yeah, anything. Yes. Yeah, it's a blessing. And, you know, when God wants to bless people, what he does is to put, you know, a person in your life. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So one of the ways that God shows extreme love is to give you one of his sons. Wow. Yeah. That God so loved the world. He so loved the world. He couldn't buy them shoes because that would not express it. He wouldn't buy them cars because that would not express it. See, it's a pity that some of you receive gifts like shoes and cars and you think it's love. It's a shame. Some people get taken out to a Chinese restaurant. They think they have experienced love. Someone brings you a rose on Valentine's Day and you think you're experiencing love. They may have picked it up in the streets, stole it from their neighbor's garden. But God, I mean, God, so loved the world. He just couldn't find any way of communicating it. Have you ever tried to talk to someone and you don't seem to have the words to convey? It's one of the reasons why people cry. When children cry, it's for a different reason. It's because they can't talk. But when adults who can speak cry, it means they have more to say than they can articulate. Do you see? Yeah? So when God couldn't, I mean, you get it. He so loved the world. He just couldn't find a way of expressing it. So he gave them his son. Do you see? Yeah. So you will find that The giving of God's son, or access to one of God's sons, is one of the highest expressions of God's love. Yeah. So, if you have access, or you've been blessed with somebody like Bishop Richard, you have already experienced perhaps one of the highest signs that God actually cares about you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? Yeah. There are some of you who wonder from time to time if God really cares about you, and if God is interested in you, and if God is interested in your family. And the reason for your questions is because of what is going on, or what has gone on, some of the experiences you have had, some of the things you've been through. Some people feel that, you know, because I went through this, that, and that, means God doesn't care about me. Yeah. How could I go through something like this if God did care about me? But you see, God's care is not validated by your experiences. It is not what you go through or do not go through that validates God's love for you. But rather, that the fact that God sent someone to you is the ultimate validation of his love. That is how you know that God loves me, because he sent someone to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Then the rest of it is what you do with a person. So you see, that verse says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. After that, it's not God to do anything. It is the person who got the son, whosoever believeth in him. Do you see the thing? So most of the time, that's where the problem is. The reason why people are not experiencing the fullness of God's power and God's love in their lives is not that he didn't send them a son. But you see, it's like when you're playing, you know, table tennis, or, you know, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Table tennis. You know, for you to get a game going, I need to serve the ball in your direction. After I've served the ball, you need to hit it back. If you hit it back, then I can hit it again. Then we've got game. Do you see what I'm saying? Then you have a game going. Do you understand? Yeah. So when God so loved the world, he gives his son. That's God serving the ball in your direction. Do you understand? Yeah. Now, the next move is not God's move. The next move is your move. It's what you do with what God has sent to you. So that is why it's a shame that you can have a man of God like that here to preach to you and you wouldn't come to church. Do you see what I'm saying? See, it's not God's fault at this point. Do you understand? Because God has already shown much love by making his son available to you. Do you understand? Yeah. And then after that, it's whosoever believes in him. You see, then it says, should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, so what it means is that as we receive God's son and as we embrace the person that God has placed in our lives, many things can be avoided. Because he said, whosoever believes should not perish. Until then, they were actually going to perish. You see, so many evils can be averted just by receiving properly and relating appropriately with the person that God has placed in our lives. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, and I've been blessed very much by my association with him. And I know that you guys are going to be greatly blessed, and your lives will be greatly affected as you relate and stay with this great man of God that he has blessed our wonderful church with. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So, what next? It's a blessing to be here. Let me share with you a little bit since I have to share. Okay. So we've been sharing and reading and fasting and praying with a book on humility. You know, we're blessed to have a church that has books. You know, and not every church has books, you know. But we are blessed to be a special church that has books. Amen? And one of the books is the book we're currently studying, and that is the book on humility. So let me share with you, just go through again with you. I'm sure you're reading it on your own. But chapter 1, which says, humble yourself. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Hallelujah. Amen. Humble yourself. So 7 reasons why we should humble ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, humility is very important. And God wants us to be humble if we're going to go far with him. Amen. You're going to have to learn the art of being humble and staying humble in the sight of God in order for God to bless you in a certain way. Hallelujah. Amen. Walking with God is a journey which best starts when you're young. Amen. One of the greatest things is to serve the Lord as a young person. Because the devil is interested in young people. For the same reason why God likes young people. You know, John said, I write to you, young men, because you're strong. Young people have a lot of energy. And that is why the devil is interested in young people, because when you get someone who has a lot of energy, you can use him to do a lot of things. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And many times the devil would like to destroy people while they are young. Because when you don't understand what something is for, you can spoil it very easily. Isn't it? Yeah. I remember my daughter was about 2 years old when I bought her a boombox. Do you know what a boombox is? Okay. So I bought her a boombox, you know, because I couldn't wait for her to have a boombox. So I bought her a boombox. Then one day, we were just sitting in the house. I saw her coming, emerging from the room with a boombox behind her. And she was just dragging it on the floor. Do you understand? The reason for that is she didn't know the purpose of a boombox. When you don't know the purpose for something, you can destroy it before you grow up enough to understand what it is for. Now, many young people don't understand the purpose of their lives, and they ruin it before they even know what it's about. Do you see what I'm saying? So many people, their lives don't even get to start because they were ruined. By the time they started, it was already spoiled. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. So that is one of the reasons why it is an advantage to know the Lord while you're young. While the life is forming up, you know, before it even starts to do anything, God has already been mixed into it. Do you understand? That means God influences most of it. God influences actually the rest of it. Because God has been mixed in very early. That's different from when you have lived and lived and lived and made so many mistakes and made so many bad choices and your life has become very complicated. Then we add God somewhere at the top. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't know if you know how to bake. You realize that when people are baking, they put the ingredients in and mix it in before it goes in the oven. Yeah, yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. There are some things that must go in at the mixing stage. Do you get it? There are some things that must be mixed into you. And one of the elements that must be mixed into your life early is God. That's why the Bible says, it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, you know, before the evil days come. That means before you put it in the oven. Yeah. Because when you make your cake and you mix it and everything and you put it in the oven and you pull it out and realize, oh, you know, I forgot to add sugar. Yeah. So you know what you're going to do? At that point, you're going to take sugar and sprinkle it on it. One of the reasons why a lot of grown-ups struggle to serve the Lord is because it's really difficult. Do you understand? The life has been already set in a certain way. Now we're trying to add God. Do you understand? Yeah. When you sprinkle the sugar on the cake after, you see when you lift, sometimes you take it and the sugar falls off. Because it's not a part of it. Do you see? And it becomes very difficult to really make it a natural part of it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great blessing to know God as a young person, because the life is now forming up. Do you understand? We're now putting the life together. We're now mixing the whole thing, you know, and it is yet even to be served. So now is the best time to mix God into the life. And when you mix God into the life at this point, He influences everything. He influences what you do with your life. He influences who you marry. He influences even how you marry. Influences how you stay married. He influences how you raise your children. He influences everything. I mean, every God is already inside the thing. Are you getting it? Yeah, He's already inside. He's in there. You get it right from the beginning. You see, so don't bake your life before you top it up with God. So when they make the cake, the icing, they put it on the cake after it's baked. And that makes it very disposable too. So when you serve the cake, you don't like the icing, you just shave it off. But I haven't met anyone who took the sugar out of the cake. When the cake is baked with the sugar and is served to you, that's it. You can't take it out. You can't take it out. You see, you can't take it out. Yeah. And I tell you that if you serve God properly as a young person, it will be very difficult to take God out of your life. You won't even have a life. Because He's so much a part of it. I was blessed to get to know the Lord while I was very young. I was a teenager when I got to know the Lord. You know, and it's a great blessing to know the Lord as a teenager. Do you understand? Yeah. And that's all you know. So you just can't define a life without God. He's just so much a part of your life. You're not struggling to add Him. I see you serving God from your youth all the way up. Hallelujah. So I was saying that this walk with God that has started now, the next important thing is how to keep walking with God. And to keep walking with God, you need this element called humility. Hallelujah. You need to stay humble in order to be able to walk with God and to go very far with Him. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says we must humble ourselves in the sight of God so that He will lift us up. Amen. That means humble yourself by God's standards. That's what it means to humble yourself in the sight of God. See, sometimes you try to humble yourself in the sight of men. You know, you humble yourself according to what human beings define as humility. You know, and human beings have many things they call humility that are not humility at all. sometimes when people are quiet, they look humble. Yeah. You know, when people are quiet, they don't talk a lot. They look like they're humble. You know, sometimes people feel that poverty is the same as humility. You see, poverty has a way of making you look humble because it kind of shuts you up. Do you see?
Yeah.
It has a way of making you keep quiet. Do you understand? But that's not the same as humility, because many quiet people have a lot they wish they could say. Do you understand? Yeah. So poverty is not the same as humility, you know. And some people feel that if you're confident, it means you're proud. But confidence and pride are not the same. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Walking chest out is not the same as being proud. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it's important for us to find the essence of humility, true humility, and walk in humility for real. Do you see? According to God's definition of what humility is. And the Bible says if we find that, God will lift us up. Say amen.
Amen. Right.
So 7 reasons why you must humble yourself. Number 1, because God resists proud people. The last thing you want is for God to be the one pushing against you. Do you see? Yeah. God resists proud people. I mean, all you have to do is to be proud. Then you set God up against you. Says God pushes against proud people. When people are proud, God fights against them. God pushes against them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I remember when we were children, sometimes we would be trying to go into a room, maybe my parents' bedroom or, you know, some place where you're not always invited. And you get it. And sometimes when they didn't want you to come in there, they would stand behind the door. And someone would stand behind the door and just, that is it. You know. And then you start trying as a kid to open the door. And you turn the knob and you try to push against the door. And you push it. And you just can't open the door, isn't it? It's a door, but you can't open it. It's designed to open. It's different from the wall. It's a door. They are made to open. But when you have an adult standing behind it with the express intention of not letting you in, then you do not get to come through the door because you cannot open it. Do you understand?
Yes.
The Bible says when you are proud, God stands behind your doors. You know, God stands behind the doors. You see that as you're turning the knob this way, God is turning it the other way, behind the door. So you can understand why some things that work easily for some people just don't work for you. As doors that open easily to other people don't open for you. Sometimes you see someone went through a certain door or someone experienced a certain breakthrough and they advise you to do the same thing. So you quickly go on and try to do the same thing and you realize it doesn't work for you. Yeah. Because someone is working against your efforts. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible says when you are proud, God will resist you. God will fight against you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so the number one reason why we must be humble is that God resists proud people. And we do not want to be resisted by God. And so we're going to walk in humility.
Amen.
Amen. James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace. He saith, God resists the proud. God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Isn't it?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So number two reason why you need to be humble is because God gives grace to humble people. Isn't it? Says, but he giveth more grace. Look at that verse. He giveth more grace. That means God gives more grace. God helps people. Isn't it?
Yeah.
God gives more grace. In other words, the grace you have in your life is not all that you will ever experience. Do you know, sometimes you get invited to lunch and then a certain amount of food has been served on your plate. That doesn't mean that's all the food there is in the house. It's just what your plate can handle for now. Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes when you start eating, especially if you have a good host, they tell you there's more. Do you understand? They tell you there's more. You can have more. You can go for seconds and thirds and, you know, there's more. There's more. Do you understand? So the Bible is saying that you may have experienced some amount of grace. You know, it takes the grace of God even for you to be in church. Yeah, for you to be seated here today, it is the grace of God. The Bible says it is God who works in us. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says it is God who works in us. Show us Philippians. For it is God. Everybody say it is God.
It is God.
Say it is God.
It is God.
Yeah, it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is already at work in you doing two things. He's making you willing and he's making you able to do what he wants you to do. Do you understand? Because not everyone who is able to do something is willing to do it. Not everyone who is willing to do something is able to do it. So when you find yourself both willing and able, God has already worked two miracles. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's already worked two miracles. So God has already exposed you to some amount of grace that has caused you to be able to choose to be in church on Sunday morning instead of being in other places. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But the Bible says it doesn't stop there. He gives more grace. There's more food. There's more grace. Do you understand? Yeah. There's more grace. He giveth more grace. That is the reason why he says. He says, wherefore he saith. Wherefore means it is the reason why he saith. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God will give grace to your life.
Amen.
If you stay humble.
Amen.
If you find out the true definition of humility and walk in it, God will overload your life with his grace.
Amen.
God will help you.
Amen.
See, grace is God's help. Grace is God's favor and God's help that you didn't really qualify for, but he just gives it to you. Do you understand? And what we need is grace. We need grace. We need God to help us. How many can feel that even though you try really, really hard at so many things? I mean, if you're honest, you say, even some of you have just tried just to be good. I mean, you're just trying to be a good person. You're trying to be a good boy. You're trying to be a good girl. You're trying to be a good guy. You're just trying. It's just not working. Sometimes you even wonder why you are like that. Yeah. Sometimes you wonder why you are like that. You wonder why you can't seem to do or be who others seem to be with ease. Yeah. Sometimes you're by yourself in your house. There's nobody there, but there's a big war going on. You against you. Yeah. Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. Some of the worst things you heard about yourself, you heard them from you. Is it not true? Some of the worst insults, some of the worst descriptions, redescriptions of yourself, you heard them from yourself. Many things that you've been disqualified from, it wasn't from another person. You disqualified yourself. Do you see? So you find yourself trying. There's a verse like that in the Bible where Paul was saying that, look, the things that I want to do, the good things that I want to do, those are the very things I cannot do. Rather, the bad things that I do not want to do, those are the things. Then after that, he says, you know, oh, wretched man. I mean, can you imagine a preacher like Paul calling himself wretched? If Paul calls himself wretched man, you wonder what name you're going to give to yourself. What are you going to call yourself? You see, and so after that, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? It's a terrible feeling when you keep fighting and struggling and trying to be who you know you have to be, and yet you always fall so short. And you know, it's so painful when people see you and sometimes they accuse you of being who you are. Do you understand? And they seem to think you like being who you are, or you choose to be who you are. What they don't know is how much effort goes, you've tried to put in just to be somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Because, you know, people are not familiar with what it cost you to be even an unacceptable you. Even this you that they are complaining about. They have no clue what it cost you to be this person. So sometimes it's so painful. As you try to step out, they push you back in the box. You know, you have earned a certain label, a certain description of your life. And every effort, two steps out of it, somebody just shoves you back in there. Because that is now your name. That's now the label you're carrying around. And that's who you are. And some people feel that that's who you are forever. Yeah. But I see you coming out of that. Hallelujah. You're going to win that battle by the grace of God. Yeah. So the Bible says, but he gives more grace. So if you think it's not enough, go for more. God gives more grace. More grace. More grace. When God's grace visits your life, it will supplement, it will add to what you're doing. Because everybody has a natural limit. Do you understand? If you look at people standing, you can see that all of us are trying to be upright. But everybody, some limit has been defined for everybody. Do you get it? For some people, where my head has stopped, somebody's shoulders are just beginning. You see, yeah, someone's neck is now beginning. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? But when God's grace comes on to your life, when God's grace is applied to your life, it augments your natural efforts. Do you understand? And it gives you a reach that you naturally do not have. So God's grace is like the seat. Do you understand? Now you can see that as a person, there's only so high I can go. There are some places I cannot touch. See, even with my best effort, I can only go so far. But when God's grace is applied to my life, do you see? Now I suddenly have a reach that I naturally do not have. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I can do things that I could not do before. I can be someone I couldn't be before, because God's grace has been applied to my life. God's grace gives you, it adds to your stature, it adds to your stamina, it adds to your height, and it adds to your efforts. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the humble attract it. They don't even have to beg for it. He says, he giveth grace to the humble. Didn't say the humble begged for it. God just gives it to humble people. So if we can humble ourselves, our lives are going to attract a lot of grace. Hallelujah. There are many things that belong to your life, but which you naturally cannot reach. And sometimes we assume that just because we can't reach it means it wasn't meant for us. Because some people live by thing for you, never lost. Have you heard something like that before? They say that if something is for you, or if it belongs to you, you will naturally have it. But that's not true. Because if that were true, then the devil would not need to be called a thief. Isn't it? Because what do thieves do? Essentially, a thief is someone who takes something that belongs to another person. Isn't it? Yeah. So if a thief would take only what belongs to another person, when you take your cell phone, you pick up your cell phone, you're not a thief. You start to be a thief when you pick up a cell phone that's for someone else. Isn't it? And the devil, the Bible calls him a thief. The Bible says he cometh not. In other words, he doesn't go to work if there is nothing to steal, to kill, or to destroy. Do you understand? He cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we know he cometh. So there must be something for him to take if you see him around. Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is that there are so many things that belong to your life, but which you don't experience, not because they don't belong to you, but it's because they are not within your reach. Your natural efforts, your natural placement, even in life, sometimes even who your parents are, where you were raised, where you live, just put certain things out of your reach. Not because they don't belong to your life, but it's just not in your reach. Are you following what I'm saying? So you need that step. You need that grace, that thing that puts things that belong to your life within your reach. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah, you need that thing. You need that thing. Because there's so many things. You see, it belongs to you. It's for you. But you, it has. You see, let me show you this verse. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Have you got it? Okay. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Did you see that? Did you see it said it is your own? Is it your own? It says that. Say my own.
My own.
Say my own.
My own.
Then it says, who shall give you that which is your own? Now, if it is your own, and yet it has to be given to you. If it has to be given to you, then it means it's not with you. Isn't it? So there are some things that are your own, but they are just not with you. Do you understand? So you need, it means the thing is not within your reach. Now you need something you can stand on that expands and extends your natural abilities and puts those things that belong to you within your reach so you can grab them. And that thing is called the grace of God. And anyone who tastes it and anyone who experiences it experiences a different life because of that. I see your life being changed by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And then one last point just before we bring the service to a close. Last reason. Okay, I'm going to jump quickly to number four. Humble yourself so that you will be covered and protected. Wow. Likewise, ye younger. It's interesting, this particular one, they are saying it to younger people. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says humility is clothing. Humility is a spiritual covering for you. Hallelujah. When you're not humble, you're like someone who is naked. Do you see? When you're not clothed, the elements get to you. Can you imagine coming to church without your coat today? I mean, and humility is like that. And people who walk in pride are actually attractive to demons and evil spirits, because pride, that is the reason why you see so many verses in the Bible that say like things like, it says, after pride comes a fall. It says, after pride comes shame. So there's so many evils associated with being proud, because pride basically exposes you and it leaves you without a covering. Do you understand? When you're walking around spiritually with pride, you're walking around without your clothes. And all naked people attract a lot of attention. You can test it just after church. Just go naked in the street. Yeah. So spiritually also, naked people attract a lot of attention. And people who are walking around without the clothing of humility draw a lot of evil spirits and a lot of other spiritual attention unto themselves, which is not a blessing. Hallelujah. I pray that God will clothe us with humility and that God will grant us grace as we try to stay humble. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray real quick. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Pray for yourself and ask God to clothe you with humility. To say, Lord, please give me this cloak of humility so that I can wear it, so I can walk in it, so I can go in this direction. I want my life to attract your grace. Because I need the grace of God. You need the grace of God. You can't make it on your own. Your education is not enough. Who you are, your family background is not enough. You're going to need some extra help for your life. Extra help for your life. Extra help. Supernatural help for your life. You need it. And God will give it to you if you stay humble. So humble yourself. Everybody just close your eyes. And this is a you moment. It's a time for yourself. And close your eyes and say, Lord, please, I want you to bless me with this spiritual blessing of humility. This unique element that makes people draw on your grace, that makes people attract your grace. Oh God, help me in the name of Jesus. Just pray for his help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then just before I say the final prayer, I want to give you an opportunity if you're here this afternoon. Maybe someone invited you to church today. Maybe your first time here. Or perhaps you have been here before or have been coming here, but you know in your heart that you're not born again. You probably don't even understand what it means to be born again. Maybe you've heard people talk about being born again. But all it simply means is that you haven't given your life to Jesus. you haven't prayed that prayer that commits your life to Him once and for all. Or perhaps you've done that before, but you find yourself going back to the same things again, going back to the same things, and you keep struggling in and out of a relationship with the Lord. Today, there's grace. There's supernatural help for you, and God wants to give it to you. Only if you will own up and say, yes, this is me, and I want to give my life to Christ today. So if you're here and you want to give your life to Christ, you're saying, Pastor, pray with me, please. Pray with me, because I know that I can attract God's grace, but it begins with having a relationship with Him. And if you want that relationship with the Lord, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Just raise up your right hand. Is there anybody here like that? Just quietly shoot up your right hand. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Just keep it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, we're choosing God. We are talking about you and God. We are talking about your life. And the Bible says God will give you more grace. God will help you. But it begins. There must be a relationship with God to start with before you can benefit from anything He has to offer. Just raise your hand up and keep it up so I can see it, because I want to pray for you. I really mean business. Listen, do me one more favor. If you are serious, if your hand is up and you're serious about it, come and meet me right here in the front. Just leave your seat. Come and meet me right here and I'm going to pray with you. Just come. Just make way for them. Just come. And stand here with me. Let me pray with you. I want to pray with you. Just come right here. Right here. Yeah, just stand in front of me. Right here. Just right here. I want to pray with you. You know, anybody else, if you're in there and you know you must join them, just come. Come and join them. Let's pray together. Because today is a good day. Today is a day to be saved. It's a day to be delivered. It's a day to have grace from God. To live for Him and to walk with Him. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else who needs this prayer today? Just come and join them. Come and join them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, those of you in front, I want you to bow your heads with me. I want everybody else to join us as we say this prayer together. This is a prayer that changes lives. This is the prayer that will establish a relationship between you and the Lord. And your life will never again be the same after this prayer. And I want you to say after me, say, Lord Jesus. Everybody join them. Let's say together. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Say, forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. From today, I want to live for you. I want to live like a child of God. Help me, Jesus. Give me grace. I humble myself before you. Give me grace, Lord, and help me to walk with you. I thank you, Lord, for the great blessing of salvation. Thank you for saving me this day. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for each of these ones who have come forward boldly, choosing you publicly, saying, today I choose Christ. The Bible says, he that comes to you, you will in no wise, under no circumstance, and for no reason, cast out. And I thank you for these ones that have come to you. You have drawn them unto yourself. I pray, Lord, that you will establish them. I pray, Lord, that you will help them find their place in your house. I pray, Lord, that they will establish themselves right here, that you will plant and establish them in the house of God. And that this step will be the beginning of a long walk with the Lord for many, many years, the rest of their lives, oh God. Thank you for being so gracious unto them. Thank you for touching their hearts to come to you. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them. Surround them with good people who will help them live for you. Thank you, Lord, for your great blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.